Good morning. We're going to skip the prelude today, just launch straight into call to worship. We face this Lenten journey, not sure if we are ready, or if it would just be easier to stay in our safety and comfort zone. Help us to take the risk of looking within and looking beyond ourselves to the joy that awaits us. Give us hearts of courage and strength for the tasks which lie ahead. Be with each of us as we move from the winter of discouragement to the spring of hope. Cleanse our spirits and make us truly ready to be your disciples. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As long as you can hear my guitar, then that's all I really care.
I'm on.
Test.
Yeah, that works.
Actually, you know what? Would you please stand? We'll get it right. Maybe And just before we sing here by the water, one thing that I noted when I was reading the bulletin is under the visuals. So I'd like you to take a look at the visuals that they have up front here and read the description of what we're doing. And then as we're singing here by the water, the one line in here by the water is, I'll build an altar to praise him out of the stones that I've found here. I'll set them down here rough as they are.
Welcome. Are there any guests this morning who would like to be introduced? All right, then. It was brought to my attention this morning that Margareta Berg passed away on Sunday night. Pastor Gary's told me the funeral will be held at Friends Funeral Home either on Wednesday or Thursday, and more information will be coming regarding that. I would also like to, as a member of the youth group, I would like to plug our Borscht Lunch fundraiser this afternoon. You are all welcome to join us in the basement for a delicious and hearty Borscht and Zwieback lunch, complete with desserts that the youth spent yesterday preparing for you. Please ask someone down there if you have any dietary concerns. We do have vegetarian Borscht available. If you would like to make a donation in the form of a check, please make it out to North Kildonan Mennonite Church and put youth in the memo line. There will also be donation envelopes available downstairs. And we will also be selling off leftovers if you wish to bring the borscht home with you. Jeff highlighted the visualization we've got here today. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So the rocks here at the front represent our scattered thoughts and devotions. As Lent goes on, the rocks will gradually move towards the Christ candle and then finally cover it on Good Friday, so you can watch for that. We also have a cross set up at the back of the church in the atrium there, which is supposed to serve as a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice. And it was intentionally placed in such a way that it would get in your way, much in the way that Jesus tends to get in the ways of our plans and schemes. I would like to personally thank Sarah Kaunhauen for all the help she gave in helping us to cook borscht this year, and that's very much appreciated. She's downstairs right now, and I think she can hear this. With that, is there any other sharing that anyone would like to share? Oh, Gary, can you bring a mic?
Morning. I just noticed, or maybe I missed it, but it's not in the bulletin, and the Mission Choir is singing on Sunday here in our church, so please, all the Mission Choir people, it's on the February calendar, but I didn't see it in here. So anyway, rehearsal is 10:20, so anyone who is so moved, please come join us.
Would anyone else like to share anything today? All right, then I think we have some more music from Praise and Worship.
Secret in the quiet place, in the stillness you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Happy Valentine's Day. Jacob looks like a giant Valentine this morning. Nice red sweater, Jacob. Okay, how many of you have ever sat down at your computer and logged in? I think everybody. And what happens when you log in? Jaylen, what happens? It loads. And does it know that it's Jaylen that logged in? Yeah, especially when you're at school. I think that's so cool. It doesn't matter which computer you sit down at. If you type in your stuff, it's going to know that it has to show Jaylen her stuff, or Rory her stuff, or Rhea her stuff. I'm going to tell you something that's even cooler. The Bible tells us that God knows everything about you. You don't even have to type in your username. He knows when you wake up in the morning. He knows when you go to sleep. He knows if you really ate the vegetables. He knows everything about you, and he cares about you. Now, the computer doesn't really know your name. What do you have to do to let the computer know who you are? You have to give it a password. God knows you without a password. God knows you. He thinks you're special. Because he thinks you're special, he sent Jesus, his son, to the earth to be born and to live and to die for us and then to rise again. So, could we bow for prayer? Dear Father, we are so thankful that you know us by name and that you thought we were so special that you gave us your son so we could have everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And today you get to stay in church. Go find your mums and dads again.
Before we pray today, I just want to mention a few notes. If you take a look at the prayer requests in your bulletin. As Paul already told us, Margaretha Berg passed away last night, and we grieve because she was important, and we celebrate because she has gone home. Lainey Lussier has been gone for a number of months, but she's an important part of our congregation, and so there's some important things coming up. She's adjusted her schedule to stay in New Zealand today. That doesn't seem like a big hardship, but she has stayed there anyhow, and her son is having surgery next Sunday, so please keep her in mind. Continue to pray for the Alts as the treatments continue from radiation to chemo. For Hildy Weens, as she undergoes chemo, the other day I stopped by and she had finished two of her six treatments and she said, I'm counting them down. The first one didn't seem like much, but one more and I'm half done. So please keep her in your prayers and give her a call. She'd love that. We want to continue to pray for Tree Harris. While I don't know that any of us know her, we know Lena, and so we know her through Lena. And so anytime we see someone who is young like this going through struggles, Lena, is it 12 instead of 14? It's 13. Okay, I had the wrong age here. She's 13 years old and going through these things, and that kind of tugs at all of our hearts. We all are aware of our mortality, and yet this hits a little close. The Giesbrechts, we have a number of people stopping by, and there's so many issues in their household. Susanna is now having treatment for skin cancer, but their daughter continues to struggle with a number of diseases, and a husband as well, so pray for them. It's good to see that Gary Giesbrecht, are you here? He said he might come, and I'm just not seeing him. Continue to pray for him, hopeful as always. Waldemar Tom's daughter, Glenda Arnault, we've mentioned her a number of times, and we were so glad to see she had gone home from the hospital. Well, she's back. And that's an ongoing thing, and this is not easy for Glenda, and it's not easy for Waldemar. So please, let's keep them in our prayers as well. This morning I was chatting with Don Remillard, and he mentioned that he just recently heard that his brother Ed has terminal cancer. That comes close, doesn't it? That comes close. And so, Don, we're going to be thinking of you and keeping you in our prayers, and also pray for Ed. Let's take some time to pray. God, we've just taken some time to look at people from our congregation and people related to people from our congregation that are going through difficult times. And we want to place them before you this morning. We ask that you would be with Ed and Mary Hebert as they have said goodbye to important people in their lives. Pray for the family and friends of Margaretha Berg. Be with Lainey as she is off in New Zealand with her son and grandson. Continue to give them joy as they interact together, even as there's surgery coming. God, we don't know what to say about Ken Arlt. There's been so much in the family. And so we ask that you would just wrap your arms around them and help them to know that you are there each moment of the day and they are deeply loved. Be with Hildy Weens as she undergoes her treatments, with Tree Harris, with Susanna Giesbrecht. And again, help them know that you are there. Help us also to remember to send a card or give a phone call so that they have something tangible. We are grateful that Gary Hebert's surgery has gone well. Continue to be with him and Donna as well. Also with Waldemar and his daughter, Glenda. It's hard when we just see things getting better and then they slip back. And God be with Don Remillard. When people close like a brother, it's hard because these are people that we've grown up with and we love and we just don't think of them slipping away. And be with both of them as they process that. We think also of the refugees that we have coming, these two young men. May this be an exciting time for them, even as they are saying goodbye to their country and many of the things they've grown up with. We look forward to walking with them here. We pray for our conference as they go through some major adjustments, and there's some struggle with that as well, trying to figure out what kind of governance structure we should go with from here. We celebrate Valentine's Day today, God, and we think of all the people that we love and that love us. But we recognize this is also a very difficult day for those that have said goodbye in the past year to people that they love very dearly. They come up to Valentine's Day, and there's an emptiness. And so, God, we ask that you would fill that void, but help us also as we go from here to make sure that we give a hug to those who need that. God, this and all the other issues in our church, in our life, in our world, we place before you, so grateful that we have someone to turn to that cares. Amen.
Linda just whispered to me that this is a very appropriate song from what we just talked about. So if you read the words, sing along, please do. Know that God is with us.
Blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Psalm 139. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord. And you know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working, and from heaven you discover my thoughts. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Before I even speak a word, you know what I will say, and with your powerful arm you protect me from every side. I can't understand all this. Such wonderful knowledge is far above me. Where could I go to escape your spirit, from your spirit or from your sight? If I were to climb up to the highest heavens, you would be there. If I were to dig down to the world of the dead, you would also be there. Nothing about me is hidden from you. Your thoughts are far beyond my understanding, much more than I could ever imagine. Look deep into my heart, God, and find out everything I am thinking. Don't let me follow evil ways, but lead me in the way that time has proven true.
Thank you very much, Rhea. Really appreciate your reading. You're so concise and clear in your speaking that they're going to next time ask if you could do the sermon too. So I want to thank you three for sitting in the front row. It was starting to feel a little lopsided here, and I don't know if you know that, but when you speak from the front, you speak off of people, and so when there's a big void there, it's hard. So there's no problem with you people sitting in the back, but here's the deal. From now on, you each have to bring one person who will sit in front of you, okay? We'll do our best. Let's take a minute to pray before we take a look at this passage. Thank you, God, for days like this, days that make us feel like it's kind of nice to curl up and stay inside or sit around the table eating a good bowl of borscht. Thank you for friends. Thank you that there are many who are not here because they're celebrating with their family on this long weekend. We ask that you would be with them, and may this be a time when they grow together as families. Thank you for all the good things that you bring our way. Be with us as we contemplate what it means to follow you. Amen. So, by now you figured out it's Valentine's Day. And that's a good thing. Valentine's Day is important for a lot of reasons. One of them is economic. Sorry, I don't have Canadian stats. Can you guess how much money the U.S. thinks that Valentine's Day is going to pour into the coffers of the country today? $19.7 billion. Now, that's a lot of Valentine's Day celebrating. That comes from number one thing that people buy on Valentine's Day. Flowers number four, cards number two, chocolates number one, candy. Number three is going out for supper, and number five, this is the expensive one, but we can all get by it once in a while, jewelry. I know most of us are stuck in number one because we're cheap, but it's okay. We can say I love you with a chocolate just as well as with a $200 necklace or whatever they cost now. Apparently, I haven't been buying them lately. Men typically spend, men spend twice as much, almost to the dollar, that women spend. What does it say about men? They're not sure what they're supposed to do, so they'll do lots of it. Valentine's Day is good. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's a confusing thing. I remember Carol and I started going out when we were way too young. I was 15, actually. But that was okay, because we met when we were about six in the sandbox, so we'd had a lot of lead-up time. But I remember that first Valentine's Day, you come to this Valentine's Day and now you're not sure. Are we going out or aren't we? Are we just really good friends, or is this kind of going somewhere? And if we are going out, I better do something for Valentine's Day. But if we're not really going out and it's Valentine's Day and I do something, I might really put this thing in a bad spot. So suffice it to say, it was awkward, and by some of your smiles, you've been there too. But Valentine's Day is good. We have enough things in our world that help us focusing on negative stuff. It's great to have a day where we focus on love. It's great, isn't it? Yes. And now it depends on our definition of love. We happen to have an excellent definition in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13. We relegate that to weddings and forget to read it rest of the time. It's great. Love is kind and unselfish and not worrying about itself and all of those things that we put in there. It's a picture of how God loves us, but it doesn't stop there. It says, so now that you know, that's how you love each other. Not just your spouse or your boyfriend, but the people in your church and the people on your street and the other people that you work with and all those kinds of things. This is what love looks like. Now, the passage that Rhea read is also about love. Doesn't look like it on first blush. Chris talked about this. Chris Titterton spoke about this last summer. And he was mentioning, it feels a little awkward when you read this and say, somebody knows what you're going to say before you say it and knows who you're going to turn into. And it feels like, you know, we heard in this last year about the U.S. reading our emails, or I guess probably Canada too, and listening in on our phone. And it goes, it's a little freaky. What's going on here? But the intention of the passage is to say that God knows us at the very core and loves us. It's like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son came up the driveway and the dad's waiting like this to give him a hug, the dad knows he's been a bit of a jerk growing up. He knows that he put the farm in jeopardy when he took out half the money, half the equity. He knows that he's been gone doing bad stuff. And so the father doesn't stop him three steps away and say, okay, boy, we got to sort this stuff out before we start this hugging stuff. No. He embraced him. And what he said to him is, there's nothing you can do and nobody you can be that's going to stop me from loving you. That other stuff will get dealt with. But I want you to know, whatever we do, everything is in context of unconditional love. And that's the intention of this passage. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and God still loves us. And it goes a little further than that. Regret. I bumped into a person in the last few weeks, not from the church, or I wouldn't tell the story. I tell that when I go speaking in other churches. I'm kidding. It's a fellow I knew from 35 years ago, 37 actually. And the person is now in their mid-80s, and as we were chatting, said to me, I sometimes wish I could live my life over again. And I just sat there with such deep sadness. You want a mulligan on life. You don't get that. God doesn't do that. God doesn't come to us and say, well, you pretty royally screwed up the last number of years. Let's see if we can salvage something from here on in. God's comment is this. What's happened in the past is the past. And there's forgiveness. God's perfect plan for us always, always starts today. No regrets. No guilt. Nothing. God's perfect plan for us starts today. I sometimes think about the thief on the cross. He's hanging there and he's got 27 minutes left to live. And Jesus looks at him and he says, guess what? God's perfect plan for you starts right now. He's got 27 awesome minutes for you. Pretty painful, I'm sure. Do you hear what I'm saying? This, folks, is called the gospel. Talked about that at a workshop we were at this week. This is the gospel. God's love is just insane in the way it embraces us. Where you are now, nothing you've done, no mistakes you've made, no bad things that have happened to you, take that away. Okay. Let's use that as a base, and we're going to come back to that in a minute. Today is Lent. You read about that in your bulletin. We've got a bit of the theme outlined there. Lent is the 40 days before Easter, not including Sundays. It starts on Ash Wednesday, which was this last Wednesday, and the youth led us in an Ash Wednesday service. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it said, and henceforth thou shalt celebrate Lent. Not there. Doesn't tell us to celebrate Christmas either, for all that matter. But Lent provides us with an opportunity to do some of the things that God does invite us to do. And that is to think through our relationship with God and to get our life put together. Typically, Lent is housekeeping time. So you say, okay, Good Friday and Easter, they're 6 weeks away. How are we doing? And we haul out a mirror and we take a look at ourselves. You know, there's a few things we need to work at. There's some grudges we need to clean up. There's some stuff we kind of said we were going to do and didn't. And we get our life in order, and that's good. But this year we want to do something a little bit different. We want to, as a congregation, ask, what does it mean for us to walk closely with God? What does it mean for us to step in a little bit? God has reached out, again, picture of the prodigal son's father, and gives us a hug. And this is about how do we hug back. Now, typically, as Mennonites, for those of you who are Mennonites, we have done this through worship, Bible reading, prayer, service. And those are great. But this year, we'd like to push just a little bit further beyond the boundaries for some of you. And we'd like to look at some of the spiritual disciplines that come from other traditions. And the question is this helpful for you in your walk with God? So today we want to talk about journaling. Next Sunday we'll talk about meditation. The following Sunday, Janet is going to talk about Lectio Divina, which is sort of praying scripture. It's a little more than that. She'll tell you about it. The following Sunday, Chris is going to talk about solitude. Then the last two Sundays, we're going to look at inductive Bible study. And the final Sunday is seeing Jesus in our neighbor. Really important way to draw close to God. Okay, so let's start with journaling. When we think about journaling, I don't know about you, but I usually think about diaries. You write down the day's events, which is all good. Journaling may involve writing down the day's events, but it's all about pouring our life out before God. It's being honest about who we are to God and letting Him know what's going on. It's committing ourselves to either at the end of the day or a couple times a week or once a week or whatever it is, sitting down with either a paper and pencil or our computer and sort of organizing our thoughts in a prayer before God. Now, there's five things I'd like to suggest to you that are helpful with journaling, and I want you to consider these. Say, is this something I would like to do, or maybe you are doing them and you've got some other things I'd love to hear about them. Come and chat with me later. The first thing about journaling is that it's a holy place. We mean to do our praying every night. We mean to get to the Bible, but we just often don't. And it just kind of slides by. And this is an opportunity for us in a little more tangible way. And for those of us who are tactile people who like to do things with our hands, maybe it's a good exercise. It's a holy place because we're setting time apart for God. we're saying, okay, before I go to bed, I'm going to sit down and write a few notes. This is my time with God. We're not worrying about a car that's broken down or the person we got to work with the next day. Nothing like that. Just us and God. It's like coming to church. I mean, we come here to sing and to hear scripture and to eat borscht, but we come here to meet God. We come here to set time aside to worship. We can worship with a journal in a number of ways. I don't know if you recall, but about a year ago, we talked about how at the end of the day, we should write down 5 good things that happened. I'd like to adjust that just a little bit. And I'd like to suggest that in our journals, at the end of the day or whenever you do this, you look back and ask, what are 5 ways that God has met me today? Little things. Sometimes it's when you go to work or you go for your morning walk or whatever, go for coffee. The briskness of the air, the beauty of something around you, nature. It just feels the presence of God. Sometimes it's somebody phoning you and just encouraging you, and boy, you needed that. Sometimes you read Rejoice magazine, whatever, and there's a verse that just touches your heart. Or you listen to something, a program on the radio, or you visited somebody in the hospital, and you felt God's presence. And here's a cool thing. At first it's hard. Oh my goodness, where were 5 things? And pretty soon, you know what happens? From the beginning of the day, you start to look for God's hand. You say, ah, there it is, there it is. And it's really cool because we begin to encounter God in sacred ways. Another way that we can encounter God through journals is by recording answered prayer. We pray a lot in this church. We keep talking about praying for all the people who are ill, which is wonderful. Do we remember to come back when the prayer is answered? So some of us pray for our teenagers for 8 years. God, help them to make it through. And they make it through. And do we come back and say, oh, thank you, God. So we start writing down our prayer requests and we start looking for answers. And we say, there was one. We prayed that God would keep us safe on the road as we traveled on our holiday. And we got a speeding ticket and we say, thank you, God. You're looking out for me. That actually is God's hand, in case you're wondering. So there's lots of ways in which journaling can be a sacred space, a place that pulls us in to see God's hand in our life. Another thing that journaling is it's a dialogue. It's a dialogue. We've just talked about meeting God in different places, God touching our life. And this is a place where we sit down at the end of the day and we pull out our pen. And it becomes our prayer back to God. God, you've been talking to me all day long. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. God, I'm hurting. And we just pour out our prayer to God. It's a dialogue. Sometimes what people do is when they're journaling, they read a scripture passage ahead of time. Some of you are reading through the Bible or you read a psalm a day or some verses. And you sit down with your journal and you say, okay, how did that touch my life? And we begin to respond to how God touched our life. For me, there's many different scripture passages which really do that for me. Psalm 27 or 46 or 121, you can look them up later, are psalms which have become very precious to me and I see myself in there. Or the stories of Jesus. You read the story of Zacchaeus and you say, God, I also have got so much and feel so empty. Or the story of the woman at the well. I can't, in John 4, I can't imagine how embarrassed she must feel. Sorry. No. Speaking of Valentine's Day, I just got a text with some hearts after it. So Carol's in BC right now. And so we read through the story of the woman at the well. She must have been so embarrassed, so humiliated by all the mess. And just like small communities, like churches, everybody knows everything about everyone. And here she comes and feels an embrace. And I read the passage and I say, God, I embarrass myself so often. And I feel like I could have done so much better. And you hear what I'm saying. It becomes a dialogue. I talk to God. The third thing, and this is a tough one, a journal is a place of honesty. It's a place where we pour out what's on our hearts. Now, we have to be careful that you don't leave your journal lying on the kitchen table. It's probably not for other people to read. When Carol and I got married, my brother was the MC, which was great, except he just really hurt his back, so he was in the hospital in traction, and they were feeding him Valium to beat the band so that his muscles would relax. You know what Valium does, right? Well, you know what else Valium does. So he came to the wedding kind of looped, which was fine, except he was the MC for the reception. So somewhere along the way, he got a hold of Carol's diary. Now, he was supposed to kind of make jokes about it, but no, his blocks are gone, and so he starts reading it. Well, the only saving grace is everybody thought he was making it up, so they're sitting there in the pews roaring, and Carol's going, ah! So we made it through, and my brother heard some words later, so it's all good. But journals, like diaries, shouldn't be read. They're between you and God. In fact, there are people who put a note in their will saying, when I die, burn my journal. It's been an avenue for me to connect with God. So anyhow, the clock and the borscht are keep on calling us. So it's a place where we are honest. We go through some celebrative times in our life. We get married, we get a job, our children are born, we finally graduate, our children finally graduate. Lots of points of celebration, and we come to our journal with celebration. We have been treated badly. When the will was settled with our parents, we didn't get what we should have. At work, we weren't treated right. Maybe we were let go. We were embarrassed in public. Whatever. We bring that. We are angry at God. We are struggling with things. Our life is more than we can deal with. We come to our journal, and it's a way of organizing our thoughts, and we lay it before God. And God understands. Here's the thing. Remember Psalm 139? God says, I knew that stuff. But it's more than just that God understands. Hebrews talks about how Jesus came to earth, so he's like us, and he understands us more than that. Good Friday's coming. And in Good Friday, Jesus doesn't just understand our brokenness. He joins us there. And when it feels like our life is falling apart, when we open our eyes, we don't have a God looking down saying, yeah, I get that, buck up. But we have a God sitting beside us with an arm around our shoulder. And very often there are no words. Read the Psalms when you think about that, and they make sense. God understands. There's no surprises. He knows already. What happens here is that our journal becomes a mirror, and we see ourselves in ways that we were even afraid to think about before. And it's safe because God is there, and God's love does not change. The fourth thing. Equally difficult. A journal is a place of examination. So we look back in our journal and we begin to see things, because when we write out of the depths of our heart, these things come. And we begin to see what our vision and goals are in life. It's so easy to let life just slip by day by day by day. What is it that Socrates says? An unexamined life is not worth living. And it's easy for that to happen. We look back in our life and we see the things that were important to us. We really need to deal with our anger, with our self-esteem, with all these things that come up. We see them in our journal because we've written them down. We see our commitments, the commitment we made to ourselves to make some adjustments, to our spouse, to our family, to our friends, to God. And we see all of these things. And then the journal gives us one more thing. That's looking backward. And now we begin to look forward. What are my goals and visions for my life? What has God set in front of me? I know what they are. I looked back and I saw them. And we begin to write that out. It's a funny thing. We have goals when it comes to our education, our career, our children, lots of things. But do we have goals when it comes to our Christian faith? have I grown in my relationship with God since last year? And this isn't by way of threat. You better. It's by way of invitation. God's standing there and he invites our honesty. And with the honesty comes a sense of peace and joy. It's a time for us to say, you know what? I look back in my journal and I feel sorry for myself an awful lot. I need to talk about that. I need to begin to find some ways. I need a book. I need to talk to somebody. There it is. What am I doing about that? There's lots of things that we can look ahead at. We look back and we find ourselves stuck. We're stuck because life didn't bring us what we want, or people that we loved were snatched away, or whatever. And we get stuck and we keep on moving, but the further we move, the tighter that rope gets between us and the event. We need to deal with it. And a journal is a place that invites us to do that. Finally, a journal is a place of joy. It's a place of joy because no matter what we go through, no matter how honest we get, what do we find? God's still there, still smiling, still ready to give us a hug, still saying, you are my child. You can't get away from that. Romans 8, right? What can separate us from love of God? Nothing. Nothing. It's a place of joy because we've been tracking God's goodness in our life, the way that God talks to us, the way that God answers prayers, the way that every time we go through the dips, just like we saw in the song, sometimes it's in the midst of that life is terrible stuff. We look back and we see God's hand teaching us, giving us, making life rich. And what do we do in response? We celebrate. We have a deep sense of joy. There's a deep sense of joy because we know that we can be honest with ourselves. We can clean up all the sense of stuff that we feel bad about. And God is there. And God fills us with the peace and hope and love and joy that Paul talks about again and again and again. People, it's a place of joy because whenever we draw close to God, the result, not guilt, not should have been, joy. That's what we find in the presence of God, joy. And so today I want to leave you with this. If you have been journaling, I'd love to hear your stories of how that's gone. And if this sounds like something that would be useful for you and you need a little nudge, please come and talk to me. I'd like to chat about how we can do that. May God fill you with joy as over the next 6 weeks you take steps closer to Him. Amen.
We're just saying this through once instead of the normal twice.
Meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You're my
benediction comes from Roddy Hamilton's Listening to the Stones blog. May the dust of the wilderness hold our footprints lovingly, shaped as they are by your hurt, for dust remembers. May the journey into wilderness unfold honestly, for honesty is the gift your soul recognizes as you. May your time in this wilderness be shaped by space rather than minutes, so there is time enough for all of you. May the stones in this wilderness cry out your name loudly, that your spirit recognizes the voice that has been calling you always. And may you know this wilderness has been expecting you, and you find between the stones a promise growing.
If you'd please rise for our final song. And this is a sing and response kind of song, and because we're really lopsided, I'm going to get this side to sing with me, that side to sing with Mackenzie and Linda, and upstairs in the balcony, if you could also do that. Please join us in singing Praise God.
Praise God from